Wishful thinking or honest expectation?
Sister Tammy always says when you go to convention, ask to give a blessing and receive a blessing. And I always say that because I always want to give a blessing and I always want to receive blessings. And that's my prayer. I always pray for that for myself in my personal prayers. And it's my prayer that the things that we talk about today would be a blessing to you. And I always have to preface it with, it's not my intention to offend anybody. And that anything I may say, if it wasn't for the purpose of offending, my studies are typically for myself and they benefit me. And it's my prayer that the things I learn would benefit you. Wishful thinking or honest expectations. If you haven't figured it out, and I don't know how you would figure it out by that title, but my thoughts are from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And it says, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." And verse 15 is really where we get the context of my thoughts. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And to do that with meekness and fear." And so our thoughts are really related to hope. And the reasons for the hope that is within us. And this word hope has a number of meanings, one of which is wishful thinking, and one of which is honest expectations. And there's a third meaning, and I'll tell you that one later. But it says here, what is this? The verse is very clear about certain things. It says, sanctify always. All right? And this word sanctify is from Strong's, and it means to make holy and to purify and to do that mentally. So when we're doing this, when we're sanctifying the Lord in our hearts, we're really making holy the things that the lessons that He gives us. You know what Brother Carlos said, what did he call it? The workbook? The journal? You know, we use that to sanctify ourselves. It also it means to be ready. You know, an answer to every man, we need to be ready. And I like words. And so, but before we do that, I'm a teacher, and we're going to do a little exercise. Because I always like to involve the brethren in what we're doing. And so, you're going to have to indulge me, right? I'm the teacher, and here's what I want you to do. It's very simple. I want you to turn to the brother and the sister next to you, and I prefer if you didn't choose a spouse. If you're near a spouse, you're going to have to get up, you're going to have to move. And I want you to tell them the reason for your hope. So let's just take a couple minutes and just do that. All right? Person next to you, behind you, tell them the reason for the hope that is within you. And I'm watching and I'm grading you. And do it with meekness and fear. Rather like a bunch of magpies. Are we good? I said a couple minutes, brother. There's a testimony and there's also dinner, so. Now, I'm certain that there weren't too many surprises, and I'm certain there was a lot of similarities. And I guess the question I have, just for the heck of it, was there anything anybody heard that might have been a little different? Something that, you know, a hope that they may have or somebody may have that might have been a little different than what we would typically identify as the reasons for our hope? You know, I asked a few brethren today, And I thought about asking a lot more, brother, and I thought, no, I won't do the work. I'll let you do the work. So you had a chance to talk about that. And I hope that was edifying to you, because it's important, the reasons for our hope. And it says you have to be ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope within you. And to do that, we really, and I know we think about that. We've been talking about these things today. There are no surprises, are they? Are there? I mean, it's no surprises. We know the reason for the hope within us and why we're here and the things that we're looking for. I appreciate your indulging me. Going back to 1 Peter 3:15, there's some words I want to look at. And I actually looked up some specific definitions, and I like these. And the first word is ready. And when we look at definitions, at least for myself, when I look at definitions, I always have a little better idea of what this means. And ready, as when it's used as an adjective, descriptive, you're ready. You know, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is ready. It means completely prepared, or in a fit condition for what? For immediate action. So in other words, when you're ready to share the hope that's within you, you know, it's not like, well, I got to think about that. You know, I got to. And the brethren I asked, you know, were always, and I've asked brethren the same question in other conventions in other locations, and it's everybody always, all the brethren always have a ready answer, and it's immediate because we know the reasons for our help, our hope. It means we're duly equipped and adjusted for the occasion or purpose. Now that's interesting because we have, in other words, we're always prepared, aren't we? We're thinking in our minds. And today most of the talks, I could kind of see that if you really look in there, there's these things that relate to hope. And, you know, when Brother Lincoln was talking about the trying times, the things that get us through these trying times is our hope, isn't it? The hope, the things that we hope for. As a verb, it means to make ready, to be prepared. So, not only are we, but we're always making ready, and I think we do that through our study and our interchange of ideas and thoughts as brethren together. There's an interjection here, and it's used in the calling or start of a race. Ready, get set, go. You know? And are we in a race? You know, are we running a race? I mean, it's already said, ready, get set, go. We've already had the start, and we're going. And I like that because of the fact that we are in a race. And it is unto death. And at the ready means in a condition of readiness, available for immediate use. You can do it immediately. And I didn't see many brethren hesitating, you know, when I said turn around and or talk. You know, it happened rather quickly. So I like that. You know, it's ready to always give an answer for the hope within you. Now hope, there's two definitions for hope, and the first one is, it's a feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that the events will turn out for the best. You know, it's like, and that's the, to me, that's the wishful thinking. You know, I hope I can keep my job. You know, I'm not sure. I hope I can, you know, go to the convention. I'll tell you a story. When I go to Vernon, I have a brother there who always wants to take me fishing, and I always hope I'm going to catch a fish. And we take pictures of all these fish we catch. The only problem is he's holding the fish and I'm holding the camera. You know, Brother Arbery, I think his hospitality is really just showing me I'm a better fisherman than you are. But it is. I hope I catch a fish. It's not that I don't expect to. I've learned a long time that I can't expect to catch a fish. I can expect Arbery to catch one. You know, I can hope I can catch one. But it's wishful thinking. You know, I'd like to catch a fish, but I may not. In a particular instance, it's a feeling that I hope I will win the lottery. You know, that's kind of a worldly example. How many people out there think that they're hoping they win the lottery? But can they honestly expect it to happen? No. It means to look forward to what does, and the other hope is the honest expectation. Now we've gone over the wishful thinking. I hope I catch a fish. Honestly expect, or honest expectation, it means to look forward to what the desire with reasonable confidence. You know, we can look forward to it, and our hope is based on, we have reasonable confidence that what we're hoping for will happen. And I think that's, initially, until we look at the other meanings of hope, is the one that we can identify with when we, you know, give it reason for the hope we are reasonably confident that we, and it's, what is it? Honest expectation or we, or wishful thinking or honest expectation. We honestly expect the things that we read in the manual of, from our Heavenly Father that these things will happen, the things that we talk about will happen. It's interesting, but the definition, there's a whole section related to spiritual. It says, one of the three main elements of Christian character is joined to faith and hope, or faith and love, and that's hope. Those are three things, faith, love, and hope. And so those are the three, it says, those are the three basic premises of Christian belief. Hope is an essential and fundamental element of Christian life. It's so essential that, like faith and love, it can be itself designate the essence of Christianity. So we can identify our Christianity with our hope. Christ is the actual objective of the believer. A living hope, a hope that will not fail, is not perishable, but provides perennial, everlasting life. Is there a hymn? Our hope is based on nothing less than Jesus Christ's blood and His righteousness. Our hope is based on nothing less than that, is it? The hope set before us, eternal life. So those are the dictionary, the worldly definitions of hope. Our hope in regards to spiritual things are different than worldly things, aren't they? They need to be. We need to think differently about spiritual things and what we hope for and what we pray for differently than what we may hope or pray or want in the world. Yes, our hopes are based on spiritual things. The hopes of our calling and election, we all hope to make our calling and election sure, don't we? We talk about that a lot. What is another hope? And I'm sure that these are hopes that brethren share with you. What's our one of the biggest hopes we have? The hopes of restoring the entire world of mankind into a state of perfection. Why? So God can be all in all. That's our great hope, isn't it? Because we know, as it says in 1 Corinthians, when it's all done and taken care of, everything's removed, all the sin, the suffering, the death, the dying, it's done, what happens? The mediator turns it all back over to God, and God is all in all. Can you imagine what that is going to be like? What will it be like when God is all in all? Imagine just how powerful the Heavenly Father is. What Brother Carlton say? He can see from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. He can see everything. He knows everything. What a hope we have. You know, I want to talk a little bit about a theory. And it's, I find it interesting because it's a theory that's being developed by mankind, and it's a theory that really kind of establishes creation. It's the Big Bang Theory. We've all heard about the Big Bang Theory, haven't we? You know, does anybody have a dime? I have a dime. The Big Bang Theory, and there's many different theories about the Big Bang Theory, but I heard this, and they say at one time, you know, everything's moving out, you know, from one point. And they say that at one time, since it's all moving away from a central point, that everything in our universe and everything in our cosmos was in a space the size of a dime. Everything. Can you imagine the power it would take to hold that there? And then they say that once it was released, it's like within 10 seconds, it's like millions of miles away. Can you comprehend that? I mean, I can't comprehend God having no beginning and no end, so that makes it easy for me to say, well, okay, well, the Big Bang Theory is probably pretty probable because I can't believe that God has no beginning and end, so why can't I have to think that the Big Bang Theory, it makes sense. But to think that everything was in that space, the power, once it was released, what happened? The other thing is, too, is I was up in Prince Albert a couple of years ago, and it kind of goes along with this, but Adam Seawalk and I were talking, and he says, you know, I found this website that talks about the Big Bang Theory, and it talks about how fast stuff is moving apart. Because Think about all that stuff. I mean, you've seen talks from brethren, you know, of the showing pictures of the cosmos, these stars and these nebulas and these things that are they're billions of light years away from us, and they're incredible, and it's huge. Well, they say this website says that we're moving at 300 miles a second. And think about this. The cosmos is spreading out at 300 miles a second. That's 18,000 miles a minute. How long have I been talking now? 20 minutes? That's like 300. Since I started talking, we have moved in relatively almost a half a million miles. You feel it? Do you even notice it? In 1 hour, that's 1,080,000 miles. In 1 day, it's 26 million miles. 1 week, 181 million. 1 month, 725 million. And 1 year, 8 billion miles. Where are we going? God knows where we're going. But imagine that God being all in all. And imagine what we're going to be doing. It's a big bang. So there are definitely differences in wishful thinking and the kind of hope that is based on confident expectation. Whatever, wherever we're going, whatever's happening out there in the cosmos, we know that God has a plan and a purpose for it. Let's look at some scriptures related to our hope. And we'll first turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. It's funny because the longer I'm in the truth, it's like, okay, well, the brethren know that scripture, and they know that. Well, there's no scripture the brethren don't know. You know, and why is that? I mean, look at I did a talk once on words, and there's millions of words. There's like 800, a million words in the Bible. But does it ever get old? Does it ever wear out? I don't want to talk about that. That's boring. 8:24. For we are saved by hope. We're saved by hope. What do you think that means? We're saved by the things we hope for, aren't we? We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, you know, it's like faith is evidence of the things hoped for but not seen. It's the same with hope. Hope is not seen. You don't see the things you hope for. You don't see God. You don't see the kingdom. You don't see, you know, there's a lot of things we don't see, but we hope for them because we know God's character, don't we? We know what the Bible's told us about our Heavenly Father. For what a man seeth, why not yet he hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? You know, and the question is, are we waiting with patience for things we hope for? Of course we are. All the things that you talked about, you share with your brethren, the hopes and the reasons for those hopes are the things we're patiently waiting for. Romans 12:12, and this just ties in the three that we talked about there. Rejoice in hope. You know, we talk about, I mean, we look at the world and the situation. We've had some conversations about, I mean, the world's a mess right now. It's like they're throwing money, their gold in the streets. You know, giving them a trillion here and a trillion there and a trillion there. It's useless. It's senseless. It's like throwing their money in the streets. But rejoice in hope. That's the thing that gets us through the trials and the difficulties and the things that are going to come and that are going to happen that our brethren have been talking about. Patient in tribulation, continuing diligently in prayer. You know, we pray for the things we hope for, don't we? And we pray, what's the one thing we always pray for? The kingdom. We need the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 1. And I always, I can never ever have a study, it's a weakness I have, and not have to talk about Ephesians. Most of you that know me well know that I always talk about the same scriptures because to me they just have such incredible meaning. This is Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes, Brother Crom talked about the eyes. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that we may know what? What is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? What is the glory of the inheritance of the saints? When we talk about that, what is it we're hoping for? What is our inheritance? It's the world of mankind. It's the world of mankind in their current condition. We inherit that. And what do we do with it? You know, brother brought out about the brother Bob about the rule. The you know, you got to have these rules, these job duties, judge. You know, all those things. We're going to be doing those things, and those people are going to be, you know, and I agree with Brother Bob. If we don't have those characteristics before we won't make, I don't believe we will make our calling election sure unless we develop, we have those characteristics in us. And I like what he said about act like it's a kingdom now. And you treat everybody like you're a mediator. That's kind of paraphrasing what he said, but to me that's what it meant. I'm going to treat everybody I know with those in those conditions. Because I believe if I don't, I won't be part of the 144,000. Because in the thousand-year kingdom, we're going to be dealing with humans in their current condition. All those things. You know, all their insanity and all those, you know, terrible things. I mean, we're going to have to deal with those kind of things. And our Lord's going to need people that, part of the church that can deal with that without saying, well, you know, I don't know, I can't deal with that person. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet. Oh, somebody brought this out today. For a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's what's our hope, so it protects our head. Helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, our hopes are what keeps us. I mean, to me, when it says the hope or the helmet, what is it? How does it say that again? But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We put on a helmet, the hope of salvation. And a helmet's to do what? Protect your head, keep you alive. And so, to me, it's saying the hope that we have, the hope of our salvation, and those things that go with our hope are what keeps us alive. And what are we being kept alive against? Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And this is verse 18. And this came out early. I also appreciate how Brother Bob tied the sure mercies of David and the Abrahamic covenant together. They're both promises, aren't they? But in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and we'll go back up to verse 16. This is Hebrews 6:16. For men verily swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So, you know, if I want to say, okay, we make an agreement, I'll swear, and on a contractual arrangement, I swear I'll live up to those arrangements. We people do that. Wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show us the heirs of his promise, the immutability of his, what does he say? Of his counsel confirmed by an oath. God made an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon what? The hope that is set before us. All right, so I talked to Sister Tammy about this, and because this is she really likes the scripture, and we talk a lot about what these two immutable things are, and one is the oath. That's one of them. He made an oath, and the second one is the promise. And the promise is the Abrahamic covenant, or the sure mercies of David. In thee and thy seed will all the families of the earth be blessed, and God swore it. And what does it say? This refuge, what we're talking about, to lay hold upon the hope, this hope, that God swore by an oath that the Abrahamic covenant would come to pass, that in thee and thy seeds all the families of the earth would be blessed, which hope we have as an anchor for our soul. both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And then it goes in to talk about Jesus entering in as a forerunner after the order of Melchizedek. Priesthood. I think that priesthood is part of that oath. The church, the 144,000. In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And God swore it by an oath. That's a huge, and that's the anchor of our soul. That's the anchor of, that's what anchors us to the truth. Some of these, all of these, are the hopes that enable us to give up our will and accept the will of the Heavenly Father. Spiritual hope with confident expectations of God's what? His exceeding great and precious promises. Our hope is based on His exceeding great and precious promises. There's another hope. The other hope. We're not going to get to it yet, but we're going to look at one other scripture here. And again, this is one we're all familiar with. And this is in Colossians 1:27. I always like it when the writers, the apostles and the prophets use specific words to define specific things. And this Colossians 1:27 is very clear. We'll start at verse 24. It says, Paul says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. We know Paul was a, you know, a faithful apostle, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of the body of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. All that Paul was doing was for us, for the church. Those then and those of us now. And he goes on to say, which I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's two things in here. There's the mystery, and there's the what it means to be Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does he mean when he says Christ in you, the hope of glory? We know what the hope of glory is. We've been talking about it. That's the foundation based on the Abrahamic covenant. In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the church is a blessing class of people, aren't they? Let's turn to 1 John. And I like this because it always kind of ties it together. And this is 1 John, the second chapter, verses 24 through 27. 1 John 2:24 through 27. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning, and that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. The things that we hear, the truth, the lessons, is to abide in us. And they come, who do they come from? The Son and the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. There's another promise. Eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and in truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Christ knew the hope of glory to me, from at least my interpretation, is our spirit begettal. It's what tells us we have the truth. It says, you need not anybody to teach you, but the anointing teaches us. It's the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope of glory is that anointing which enables us to understand what the glorious thing the Heavenly Father and His Son have provided, His grand plan for the world of mankind. Let's turn back to Ephesians, and we'll go to chapter 1, back to chapter 1. This is my favorite passage, and this is Ephesians 1:17. Well, it's one of my favorites. I like all of Ephesians. We'll start at verse 17. And we're going to talk a little bit about this anointing and about this Holy Spirit again. And we get back to this power of God. Again, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We are given the spirit and revelation of the knowledge of God. And how does that happen? From His power. And why? That the eyes, there's that word eyes, I think we maybe read that earlier, but there's the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And going on, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Again, honest expectation. We believe it. Is it wrong for to me to say, oh, I have confidence? You know, some people say, well, you're kind of, you know, you could. It's difficult because they say, well, you're kind of haughty, kind of self-righteous, maybe. But I don't say that with that intent in mind. I you know, it's like Sister Betty. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another year in the truth and the truth and understanding that we have. And it goes on to say, and again, the same power that kept all that stuff in the dime. All that stuff in that little space. The same power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on the right hand of God in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and everything, and name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So when all this stuff gets to where it's going to go, and the age is to come, and God is all in all, you know, can we comprehend it? The one thing we can comprehend is that God is doing this, and He is very, very powerful. And it's incredible, though, if you just look around you and you see the things that are going on, to think what it will be like in that situation where we turn it over to God and He's all in all again. Think about that. God is all in all. And then all the other things that are out there and all the other questions and all the things that we speculate on will start being made clear to us and to the world of mankind. We will start understanding. We'll understand even more what our hope really is. Our anointing of God's mighty power has an influence on us. It's what draws us here. It's what brings us here. Is our hope wishful thinking? Gee, I hope it happens. No, our hope is not wishful thinking, is it? We are hoping with confident expectation. The world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for the things that we will usher in when the church is complete. In these things, we're always hoping for a better understanding. I was hoping you weren't going to be coming up.
Wishful thinking.
A couple of scriptures here. Let's turn real quickly to, and we'll begin summarizing here. 2 Peter, verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According unto us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, by which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. There it is. He nails it right to the T. It's for us. These exceeding great and precious promises are for us as an inheritance, but for what purpose? To perfect the world of mankind. Bring them back into righteousness. I want to go down here to this final word of hope. And this to me just is always kind of a aha. This word hope is Strong 1680. And I like it because it really kind of just sums it all together. Because our hope isn't wishful thinking. our hope is honest expectation. But the hope that's used in that Peter scripture means to anticipate with pleasure and to expect with confidence. And I think when we as brethren, when we're together and we're talking about these things and we're getting excited and we anticipate with pleasure, think about that. Anticipate with pleasure and excitement what is going to happen in the future for the world of mankind. Well, brethren, it's my hope and prayer that you've received a blessing. I appreciate your indulgence. And it is my hope that sometime soon we'll be in a heavenly arrangement with the Heavenly Father, and we'll cut short these days and bring about the blessing of the world of mankind. And may the Lord add His blessing.